Hey, thanks for listening to the Aftermarket's premier podcast that connects you and your peers into an audio networking group. It's Carm Capriotto, your Aftermarket podcast guy. Now, we offer nothing but the best stories, relevant content, and must-hear panel discussions to help the industry rise to new levels. All through these shared insights and ideas that you can make your own. You are getting the latest trends and the important issues affecting the automotive aftermarket. We have you covered. Okay, in today's episode, I'm with Matt Lockowitzer, a six-location shop owner in North Dakota. Matt had inspirations to become a lawyer, but a fork in the road led him to be a technician and now shop owner. Six locations in under 11 years. That's an amazing feat, but it required a lot of work, strong culture, pure process disciplines, and a total focus on the customer experience. Matt also has a body shop and an ADAS calibration center. Now, before we listen to Matt, let me thank Napa Car Vantage for their continued support. You know, Napa Expo has officially been rescheduled. It's February 1st through the 4th, 2021. Las Vegas is going to be painted blue and gold as Team Napa puts on the fabulous event that was planned prior to the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, Napa wants to thank everyone for understanding the event postponement and sends well wishes to you and your family. Rest assured, Team Napa is as energized and invested as ever in Napa Expo, and we look forward to hosting you February 2021. Here's an industry first. Apex announces the first Shop Owner, Technician, and Service Advisor of the Year Awards. They'll be presented at Apex 2020. Nominate a deserving peer or yourself. Go to aapexshow.com/serviceawards for all the info. Nominations end July 31st, 2020. So if you're listening to me on Tuesday, July 30th, you've got until tomorrow, Wednesday, July 31st, to put up your nominations.
We don't say a word. Our technicians do this, too. It's not the service advisors. It's not the managers. The technicians do this. That's really the magic part of all of it.
On his way to owning six locations, Matt Lockowitzer dropped out of school and started working in a local GM dealership. Matt shares how he grew and transformed his business with a top culture, an incredibly strong community presence, the teddy bear treasure, and the Girl Scout cookie campaign that supports local food pantries and our veterans. Learn all about these and more, along with how Matt has integrated a lottery system in his training of his technicians and engaged them to own and teach their in-house training program. Matt's full bio and the key talking points can be found on the website at remarkableresults.biz/E557. So glad you've come to the Trough of Wisdom for the best aftermarket talk radio that strives to beat your expectations each and every week. This is Why I Podcast. Hey, a warm welcome to Matt Lockowitzer, Matt's Automotive Service Center, Fargo, North Dakota. Is it all North Dakota?
No, we have a couple in Minnesota as well.
I find this so interesting. You told me you started in the back of a repair shoe shop. And that's okay because so many people start in their backyards or in a garage behind the house or some small rented one-bay place. But six locations in 11 years? What's the magic, man?
Just hired really, really good people and tried to do things the right way. It's not anything crazily secret about doing the right thing.
Well, that's big, doing the right thing. And is it the right thing according to Matt because you have these ethics and customer service expectations? Because people can do the right thing and they do the wrong thing. But how is it the right thing?
Hiring people that believe in what you're doing, but also being, you know, one of my big things is being a pillar in our communities and really showing people that we want to be part of the communities, that we're here to support them and to do the right thing when we're needed to.
You're saying the culture is the glue?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
The majority of our listener gets this. They understand culture, but there's a lot that don't, and they keep needing a push, Matt. How would you push someone to want to really build the right culture?
Depends on where you're at and what you're doing, I guess. If you're at the finish line and you don't want to grow or do anything different, that's one thing. But if you want to be different, you want to stand out to the people that come through your doors every day and to your team members, you have to actually have what people want and feel, especially today's younger generation of workers. Like, they want to feel something when they come to work. Or your customers want to feel like they had an experience, not that they just got their car fixed. and your culture is what makes that happen.
I find it fascinating that you talked about customer service. You had mentioned to me, Carm, it's all about revolutionizing customer service. And I guess, how hard is it, Matt, to provide a better experience than anyone else can get in your marketplace? And they say, wow, I can't believe that's an automotive facility.
It comes down to everything you do. I mean, you have to be continuously pushing the envelope and trying to find new ways to, you know, we call it wow our customers. I mean, I have a person in our company, her title is director of wow. Her job every day is to basically watch every RO that comes through every shop and kind of look at what customers have going on in their lives. We're very good at taking notes and communicating with our customers. And then she has a budget she can spend whatever she needs to on to find a way to wow a customer. It could be as simple as getting a card for them. It could be going out and getting them a blanket. It could be getting them a flag. Is there somebody that's in our military? Literally, whatever it is, we try to do that to kind of make that experience happen.
So she can manage post transaction, post wow, okay? Can the counter person, your service advisor, do the same?
They're the ones that actually usually start a lot of this, because if they don't do their job in building that relationship and collecting that information about what's going on in their life, what they use the vehicle for. You know, just an example, a few weeks ago, we had one customer who was leaving town on a couple thousand mile road trip. And, you know, he sent an email saying, hey, these guys are leaving our road trip. So we all brainstormed different ideas what we could do. We put together a road package for him. We put a blanket in there, some treats, a cooler, and we put set it in the car. And then we all signed it, and we left it there. We didn't say a word to him. So a half hour later, I get a phone call, and this gal's in tears. And she's like, you didn't have to do that for us. And that's what creating a wow moment is when people don't even have a clue it's there. But every person that works for us has a part of that. Our technicians might notice something in the shop even. You know, if they find a car seat that's way out of date in the vehicle, we'll go buy them a car seat and we'll put a car seat in.
Let's make sure we talk about car seats. I'm teasing the audience because you told me you have given away 10,000 of this special thing because of car seats. And let's just tease the audience for a moment because this is all part of Matt's wow. Now, I'm going to have John DeJulius on soon. I'm going to interview John, the customer service revolution. You have gone to his seminars, and it sounds to me like everything you just said, Matt, you've very much signed on to his philosophy.
How they approach customer service is all about making sure the customer is a focus. It's not about me or us or why, it's about them. And making sure that they're the most important person in your life at that moment. And he's really revolutionized kind of a lot of how customer service is done. You know, they work with, you know, Chick-fil-A's and your Starbucks of the world. I mean, you want to talk about businesses that are known for world-class customer service. These are businesses that are tied directly to that.
I just heard you talk about one of his concepts called Ford, F-O-R-D, which is understanding the customer, getting to know them so well that the relationship is like unbreakable, and that is because you listened and learned about family, occupation, recreation, and dreams. All of this stuff that it seems that John DeJulius talks about is no-brainer stuff. You just have to have a commitment in your heart to have customer service beyond what normal expectations are. Do you have classes that when you bring in new people, or do they just jump inside and because everybody's on the same page and the culture is so strong that they just assimilate to it, or are you teaching?
You know, it's both. On the technician side, I would say the culture, they kind of just jump in right away because it's hard not to. You get gravitated to that. You know, we do meetings every morning and we talk about different topics or, you know, core values, whatever. This morning we do SWOT. I don't know if you know what SWOT is.
I love SWOT.
We do SWOT once a quarter with our teams individually at each store. The managers do that. And I happen to be at the one this morning and one of our younger techs, it's a gal as well, and she had came from a shop that just wanted to get business done. They didn't care about an experience, anything like that. And she was talking about how this place, like, you're excited to come in every day. And she was like, this was day one. Like, she goes, I couldn't believe the excitement and the willingness of everyone around me. And she's like, that's why I come back every single day. And she goes, that's a strength.
You have so excited me because I've always wanted, I believe in SWAT's like big time. I've done them for friends of their business. I've been in front and facilitated owner on the side. You know, I always believe the owner should never facilitate his own SWOT. Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. What a fabulous way to learn. Are we doing things right? Aren't we? What's the outside pressure? What's the inside pressure? And ultimately, if you do it the right way, you can formulate a strategic plan, or you could find out if you're online with where the company is headed, and if not, head something off at the pass. Am I right?
Absolutely. It also makes a huge piece for people internally to make their own, because when they see their own things, they can say, you know, I need to be better at this. I'm good at this. I can help others with this. Those are all part of how that ties together too internally.
You put up a strength. The team puts up all their strengths, and one of the team members realizes he's not good in one of those strengths. You're right. It ends up becoming an internal, I better step up my game thing, right?
And it's exciting.
So 6 stores in 11 years, where did you get your start? I mean, did you work for somebody?
So I grew up in central Minnesota farming, so I was always using my hands. I wanted to be a lawyer, believe it or not. I had a full ride football scholarship, shredded my knee in high school, and was like, well, I got to go to plan B. My plan was to go for diesel mechanics and go back and farm with my dad.
A lawyer to diesel farmer. That is one hell of a gap.
Yep, sure is. Just something, I guess, I've always, in some capacity, I still would love to be a farmer. I just think it's the work ethic of a farmer is phenomenal, and I have that drive. Long story short, I have a sister that is a cancer survivor. My parents wound up selling the farm, and I kind of was like, okay, now what am I going to do? I wound up dropping out of school. I don't even have a degree, and I got a job at a local GM dealer, and I've been working on cars ever since.
What was the spark? What was the moment you said, I'm going in all deep?
It was honestly my wife. I had no intention or anything to open a business. The shoe repair shop that I wound up opening in the back of, the owner of it kept asking me to rent the building, or the back half of his building. I had done work on his cars for years, and I happened to be working on his truck, and he asked me again to rent the building. I went home that night, and I told my wife, oh, Tom asked me to rent the building again. And then she sat up in bed. She's like, you should do it. And 3.5 weeks later, the company started.
Hey, it's Carm to talk to you about how telematics can benefit your Napa Auto Care Center. Now, thanks to Napa's recent partnership with CarVantage, it's easy for you to connect with your customers and help to eliminate their stress over car care. The CarVantage program lets you message customers directly on their smartphone about any action they need to take, and it's all done automatically based on their car's actual health and mileage. It works like this. You provide customers with a CarVantage sensor that plugs into their vehicle and then connects via Bluetooth to their mobile phone. Then the CarVantage dashboard allows you to set up automated marketing campaigns that target customers based on specific triggers, like when they're approaching their next maintenance interval, for example, or whenever a check engine light is detected. Customers, well, they'll receive a mobile push notification and or email when they meet the criteria you specify. You can encourage them to schedule a service or send a coupon relevant to the problems they're experiencing. Now, to make an appointment at your shop, all the customer has to do is select the service, a time, and a date. CarVantage even sends you a snapshot of the vehicle's health prior to the vehicle's appointment so you can plan for the visit. Customers love CarVantage. It gives them peace of mind and the best experience in the market. Plus, CarVantage is free to them. And for you, a special offer only for Napa Auto Care Centers lets you give CarVantage a try at a very affordable price. And it even includes free sensors. Other plans and enhancements are also available. Even more important, CarVantage helps you increase customer retention and customer spend. Talk to your servicing Napa Auto Parts store to find out more about what CarVantage can do for your business, plus the hundreds of other things the Auto Care program has to offer. Isn't it cool to get support from the wife?
Oh, absolutely.
If you didn't and you made a bump or two on the road, you know, she may have gotten all over you. But as you bump through the road and try to learn to be successful, she's tolerating with you. She's working through it with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, honey, it was your idea. No, it was my thought, your idea. We made the decision together, so we're sweating through this thing together. So I need to understand, from shop one to shop two, big move, or was it like I was ready?
I don't know if you're ever ready for that. I mean, I had done very, very well in shop one, and I'm like, it can't be that difficult. And I realized within a day or two, like, it's not easy to replicate what you did already. And the biggest lesson I learned day one was if I didn't have standard operating procedures, this wasn't going to work. And I spent better part of a year developing those, and I continuously change those because obviously the business changes and things like that. But that sort of allows us to now, I could look at a store tomorrow and own it next week and be operating in a week because we have operating procedures for, I mean, almost to the point where how do you go to the bathroom? How do you wash your hands? How do you, I mean, it's everything.
Rubber stamp, plug and play.
Yep. Besides the great people we have, that's the only thing that is the biggest piece of how we've been able to grow is that.
One day you've got to come back. We got to talk about, you know, growing and exactly SOPs and how you did that. But I really want to get the core of what Matt's all about and your great company. You stay connected to your ASCs. Are you still a master tech?
I am still a master tech. I'm a service advisor. I have L1, L2. And then I have the A9 diesel as well.
Do you ever find yourself jumping into a bay?
Nope.
Okay. All right. So you're doing the right thing. You're running the business. But yet you have an affinity to, I got to have my, keep my ASCs up, right?
I was a tech first. And I just, for me, it's one of those things.
But you also, Matt, made the right move by realizing that you can't stay in the bays and grow a great profitable business.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably see that all over the place. You're a part-time coach, right?
Yep.
And that's why you're probably so good in shaking the tree of many of your clients to get them to do the right things, because you've been there and done that. So where did you get your business acumen, or are you just a natural-born common sense, I'm smarter than any book would ever be, I was a natural-born leader, or did you have to listen and learn and read? What? How did it work?
I try to be a student in everything. I try to learn from everything I've done, right, wrong, or indifferent. You show me once or you guide me to it, and you don't have to show me again. I've always, even when I was a technician, like I'd do something once, I never had to have help or anything on it again. And I'm a big student of reading. I love podcasts. I love, you know, going to seminars. I love education in general. I really strive. That's a big part. Even though when I interview team members, that's a piece of what we do every single time we talk about it, is you have to be committed to training, because we train twice a month, 3.5 hours each time. It's important, and you have to sign up for that.
Do you bring the team together, or you segment them? I know you have a beautiful training center.
We have always done training together. When we just built the new building, the training piece that came with it, we have a full-fledged classroom now. So the teams all train together. I do break them into service advisors, managers, and then we have a marketing team, and then we also have our technicians.
Do you bring trainers in from outside?
I do at times, and then about 95% of it, I actually develop the courses, or I have help from my team members. So like, for instance, we go to Vision, and it's a big deal for our staff. I mean, our people almost like beg to go to that. And because of that, like, we have a lottery system and how they have to do different things to get the opportunity to go. And then from there, the biggest stipulation they have to do is they have to actually, whatever they learn, they have to come back and help me build coursework to teach the rest of the people that work with them about it.
Perfect.
But they have to be involved in it. It's not just me taking their book and saying, I'm going to teach a class.
There's that forgetting curve that happens when you go to a class or any kind of training, and if you don't put it to use, or you don't teach so that you learn again, because when you teach, you learn. Brilliant.
It's been awesome, too, because the techs and the managers and advisors that have helped me do this, we've been doing this for 5 years now. And what's been awesome about it is the people that helped me build the class are like, I learned more reteaching it than I did when I sat in the class. And I think that's kind of been the fun one. Like right now we are working on our ADOS training. We purchased all the ADOS tools. And so I have three techs that went to ADOS stuff when we were in Kansas City, and they're finalizing with me their class that they're going to be teaching next month to our entire, you know, technician team.
You're going to have one facility that does ADOS?
Yep. Just signed the purchase agreement yesterday. I'm buying a much larger building for one of our stores, and we'll be moving into that, and that's where the ADOS system will be.
Because you'll have the room. You'll have the room, yep. There.
Yeah, it's a 17,000 square foot shop, so.
How did you become a part-time coach?
I was kind of recruited, and I kind of got into it from that perspective. I always liked the educational side and holding people accountable on my own team, but I never thought I was maybe in a place where that was the right thing. Was recruited into it, joined a coaching company, and really enjoyed it a lot. I really found that that was actually probably my strongest passion. I love cars. I love people. But what I really, really love is seeing that light bulb or that magic moment come on for somebody where they're like, I did this. And coaching's done a lot of that for me. And about a year ago, I decided to kind of go out on my own. And we've been doing that since. So
spend just a moment and tell the listener how many different fingers you have in all your different businesses. You know, quickly give me their name and what they do.
So we have Hammer Promotional, which is a promotional products and marketing business. We have a Valve Pack of Fargo Moorhead, which is a direct mail marketing company. We have Hammer Industries, which is a environmentally safe floor cleaning product we sell and distribute in two states. We have Lockwitzer Investments, which is a commercial real estate holding company and a management company. We have BFD Investments, which is a commercial real estate holding company. And we have Hammer Consulting, which is my coaching company, along with Matt's Automotive.
So you mentioned community earlier. Boy, when I talked to you, I mean, it was like it filled up an entire page of notes about your community involvement and the things that you do. And, you know, I'm a Girl Scout cookie guy. I mean, I just look for them set up anywhere and everywhere, and that's community. I'm going to show my age. I'm going to explain to you that peanut butter cookie, it had like the peanut butter cream inside, and, you know, it was called a Savannah years ago. And I want anybody who's listening to say, oh, I remember the Savannah. You know, they ultimately became half the size, less in the box. However, I still love them cookies. Tell me what you do with Girl Scout cookies.
We really wanted to encourage, entrepreneurship in younger people, and the Girl Scout cookie badge is actually about them doing that. It's not for them selling cookies. It's about learning what being an entrepreneurial spirit is. So what we decided to do was we put a post out. It was just a simple Facebook post, and we just put a post out saying any Girl Scout that comes into our store will purchase two boxes of cookie for them as long as they are the ones that come in and ask to present the sale to us. And it can't be the parent, it can't be the grandma, it had to be the actual Girl Scout. And it just went viral. I mean, it was insane. And we wound up filling a 14-foot long conference table about 6 feet tall with Girl Scout cookies. I don't remember what the count was, but it was a lot.
You spent thousands.
I spent a couple grand, yeah.
Oh my God. What'd you do with the cookies?
So that was the best part. So what we did was split the cookies in half, and we donated half of them to all of our local food shelves or food pantries.
Sure, sure.
And then the other half we boxed up and we actually sent to veterans overseas.
Oh my. Heartwarming. I love the whole concept of the Girl Scout having to get the nerve to ask for the order.
It was fun because, you know, some of them are pretty shy and they kind of stepped out of their shell. And then we took a picture with every single Girl Scout. So like the techs got involved, and it was just so much fun. We'd stand on the service drives and we'd take pictures with them. And I mean, the parents were, it was a lot of fun.
How long did it last? A couple of weeks?
No, we did it for 6 weeks total. And I think if COVID wouldn't have started when it did, I think we would have been a little stronger at the end. But we had, obviously, COVID was starting going on when they're selling. So,
Make a Wish is something big for you?
Yep. We try to grant a kid's wish every year if we can. My sister, obviously, I mentioned earlier, is a cancer survivor. So being involved with that's very important. The first year we granted a wish, my sister actually got to tell her story at the event and stuff. And it was pretty heartwarming, not for only me, but we had two tables of staff there. And really a very, this gets talked about. I think the first time we did it was 6 years ago. And it still gets brought up every single time we talk about it. So
here I'm a team member of yours, and I'm watching this company give back and engage in the community. Why would I want to go anywhere else?
That's what we try to say to everybody. We have very good people that stick around. I mean, we don't have a lot of turnover. We typically have a waiting list for technicians. We had, I think, 26 techs apply during COVID. I mean, it's been crazy.
Where are they from? Independents that closed or dealerships?
Dealerships, actually. They couldn't keep them busy enough, so...
What do you hear when you do that interview? My God, you know, we start troubleshooting a vehicle and we stop here and replace the part, and you guys got to go deeper and do more diagnostics, and God, that's hard. I don't want to do that job. What do you hear?
I don't get a lot of that. Maybe it's just the type of techs that we've tried to attract. I don't have a lot of people that, you know, raise those questions, honestly.
The reason that I'm going deep with Matt on community is I'm trying to excite the industry to get more involved. And I think you're involved to the nth degree. Pick a number. Days of service, how's that work?
So day of service is probably our company's biggest pillar that we do. So we're coming up on our fifth year of doing it. And it originally started out as a nomination process. We partner with a local radio station, and obviously we get help from our vendor as well. Basically, the whole part was is somebody could get nominated by someone to get up to $1,000 worth of repairs on their vehicles the day after Thanksgiving. When I first started this, we only had three locations, I think. So what we did was we closed all three, and we picked 10 people that got $1,000 each, and then all we did was fix those people's cars that day.
10 people, $1,000 each.
The first year, we had like 150 nominations. Last year, it was just under 700. And I go through every one of these nominations. I read them. I separate it down to 10. Now we do $1,500 worth of work to every person's car instead of 1,000. But it's been just such a big impact. Every year, we've donated at least two cars because some of the cars that come in, they're way too far gone. So it's gotten to the point where now we have people, you know, customers are like, we don't want to fix the car. And we say, hey, if you want to donate it, we'll use whether we scrap it or we fix it up, we use this money or the car for our day of service. And that's how we have found to get rid of cars that sit too long sometimes too, because people won't make decisions.
Matt, was the whole community thing, did it start just like in the last 4 or 5 as you realized that you've got something here, you know, you've got mass, or did you start doing community from day one?
We've always done community. It's just the level that we can do it now because of our size. You know, I really believe it comes back to how I was raised and obviously how I seen the community step up from when my sister had brain cancer. And I just think that for me was something that's been ingrained in me ever since I witnessed how people came together for her. And I felt compelled in some capacity. I felt like I needed to pay it back somehow. For whatever reason, I don't know what that is, but that's how we felt.
So anyone who's listening, if you don't do community, please take Matt's lead and do something. Maybe not to this degree, but you can start somewhere, can't you?
Absolutely, you can.
Let's go back to that car seat thing that I teased everyone about in the beginning. This is one of the most phenomenal things I have ever, ever heard. Tell us about the teddy bear.
3 years ago, we started obviously because I own a promotional products business that's been helpful. I looked into it 5 years ago, and it was just not feasible financially for us to do it with how many cars we service. But what we do is we have anytime a car comes in that has a car seat in the back, what we do is we take a teddy bear, whatever series we have at the time, and we actually take the teddy bear, we set it in the car seat, and we actually buckle the teddy bear into the car seat. We don't say a word. Our technicians do this, too. It's not the service advisors. It's not the managers. The technicians do this. That's really the magic part of all of it. And then they make a note in the RO that they put how many teddy bears in, and then that way we know what version they put in because we change it once a year. It's been incredible. This year we're on pace to go through about 25,000 teddy bears, actually. We went through about 10,000 with us being closed for the few years.
25,000, you're on pace out of 6 locations. So think of the number of car seats, or let's just think of this, the families that you do work for that have a strong relationship, that trust you, and then they get the teddy bear with your logo on it.
Whether it's the right way to say it or not, I really believe in cementing a magic moment, whether it's the teddy bear with the kid or making sure they feel good about the purchases they made of their car. You got to find something with every customer to cement that moment. That's what really creates the 5-star reviews and really creates a brand, I think. And, you know, the teddy bears are just part of that. And it's become a collectible series at this point. You know, I kind of think I told you, but we have people messaging us on Facebook, like, when's the next bear coming out? Our kids want them, you know, and it's so much fun.
I've got to come in for service because I know I'm getting a bear. And I've got that shelf building here. It's Matt's Service Center Bear Collection. Off the charts. Matt, I love the idea that you're connecting the tech, the customer, with the bear. And I don't think we think long and hard enough about the value that the technician needs to have in looking. This is not a car, this is a customer.
That's actually something we train heavily on. And I don't mean that in a weird way, but we're really big on how we approach every part of the guest experience. So when a customer calls and says, I've got a 2017 Acadia and the AC doesn't work, we start talking about how Tim, our GM master tech, who's very passionate about cars and very passionate about fixing them right, is going to be the one working on their car. And we start that at the appointment process. So now when the customer comes in, their appointment's not with Matt's Automotive, their appointment's with Tim or Ben or whoever the tech is that day. And then on top of that, we're very big on making sure the customer gets to meet the tech that worked on their car. And I can tell you that almost in all the years I've been doing this, I've maybe had maybe one or two that didn't like this. Because ultimately, like these techs want to feel appreciated, not just from me, but from the people that actually are driving the cars that they fixed. And I think that you want to talk about a magic moment for an internal customer, that's what it is.
It's like there's a car driving down the road. I'm the tech. I'm driving down the road. I see Mrs. Smith, and I realize I put the bear in that car seat. Now there's a little child in the car seat, but I put the bear in that car seat. I mean, there is a snaps right there. Oh, my. It's genius. It's genius. Let's finish the whole community thing with woman events. I mean, I think you're doing them, right?
Yeah, we have done 14, we call them Knowledge is Power, women car care events. Our average attendance in the last 10 has been 84. We usually have to cut it off because we can't handle anymore. We get buy-in from our staff. I mean, all the techs come in together from all the stores. They make sure everything's clean, perfect. We have about 6 to 8 techs that will actually come in and help with this. So they're interacting with the ladies as well. I teach the class, and it's gotten to be quite an event. And it's really been a huge piece of what we are as a company.
I want to call this your community episode, but I want you to come back and tell us a little bit more about, you know, the block and tackling it takes to run, you know, a 6-unit operation and, you know, how you're doing your hiring. And you said it earlier, if you don't have systems, you don't have processes, you don't have great people, you're never going to be successful and be profitable in a single location, yet as well with 6 locations. You will come back?
Yes, absolutely.
So great to meet you, Matt Lockowitzer from Matt's Automotive Service Center, Fargo, North Dakota. Appreciate you coming on, man.
Thank you. Appreciate having me.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.